your will, so-and-so. And we're going to get a little more into that. And we're realizing more and more that that's not biblical. That is not biblical at all in many ways when it comes to healing. And we'll see how that flows. Many of us are starting to, as we're growing, moving into that. And it's two parts. One is the one who's praying for healing, but then there's a role the receiver needs to learn to play so that the Holy Spirit can move and the healing can fully take place as well. And one of the things we're going to get into, which we may start today or may not, are some 10 basic lies that sometimes we believe in. And we'll get more into detail of those things. I just wanted to kind of set the table up that this is going to take us over the next few weeks. And we're going to be addressing these things because these are lies we tell ourselves that actually hinder God from breaking through and heal and providing his healing. But some basic foundational things. Number one, God can heal. Can we agree on that? You know, we hear in Scripture, God is love. So to me, I look at that and say, God is the pure essence of love. It is love in the purest form. Well, one of God's name is Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. So if God is love and God is our healer, that means he's also the essence of healing. That means everything about healing comes through him, in him, and through us as we are in him. It's all there. He has it all. So God can heal. Matthew 19:26 simply says, with God, all things are possible. Not some things. Not in some areas. Lord, you're great in this area, but you're not so good a lot in this area. But in all things, with God, all things are possible. Everything. Understand the power of the word all. When you read that in the scripture, anywhere, when it's talking about God, when he says all, he's encompassing literally all. It's not metaphorical. It's not meant to mean something else. It means to encompass everything without boundaries. So if we stand on that, we can't help but stand on the fact that all healing is possible through God who can heal. Amen? So we're standing on that. Second thing is, God does heal. It's sad to say there are so many churches who have this thought, going back to a little bit, the if it's your will thing, that where they question, is it really God's will? There is doubt that God can heal. They've made the choice, and so not just churches, but people. And I'm talking about all denominations who really wonder if God does heal or God will heal them. And we'll get into that more when we get into the lies. But Exodus 15:26 says, as we said earlier, I am Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, the healing God. So if he is the healing God, he is God our healer, that means he does what? He heals. That's not just the essence of healing, not just a job title, but it's his job description. It is actually his job description. Just like we declare Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, and many of us are so quick to stand on God provides, he is Jehovah Jireh, but we hesitate when we say, oh, Jehovah Rapha. And we have that little inch of doubt, that little twinge of wondering, is this true? But he says, I am, just like I am Jehovah Jireh, I am Jehovah Rapha, God, your healer, the healing God. So he does heal. Let's not shortchange him of that. He deserves the glory for that. He deserves the credit. Now, how he does it? He does it like that miraculously, but he also does it through us. Because we'll get into more of the fact that Jesus told every one of his disciples, go, make disciples, heal the sick. Heal the sick. Not pray over the sick to be healed. He says, heal the sick. Again, not just pray over, if it's your will, God, let this person be healed. He commands to heal the sick. And it only happens when we are flowing in his power. Jesus, look at this. Jesus, in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. What does he do? He preaches the gospel of the kingdom. What's part of the gospel of his kingdom? That we've all been commissioned to preach. Part of it is, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. He did it. Matthew 14:14, when Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed the sick. He told us to do that, didn't he? The exact same thing, right? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So did Jesus Christ decide to retire from pouring into us through his Spirit the healing power of God? Did he decide, I'm 2,000 plus years old, it's time for me to retire and collect my Holy Ghost Social Security checks? He didn't. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he was doing then, he continues to do now, will continue to do through his people who are willing, who are believing, who are standing on it, who have accepted him, and who are willing to go into the unusual. Don't go into the realm of the extraordinary. To go where other people might critique them in going. To go, even if it means losing face sometimes. And what I mean by that, and I'll be the first to tell you, one of my fears and insecurities when I used to pray for people that they are healed is, I was so worried to declare God's healing 100% over them, because if I was wrong and that God chose not to heal them right there in that moment, that I would make God look like a fool. And then in return, I'd also look like a fool. So my insecurity said to me, which held me back from praying in power, from declaring with the full anointing of God in faith, because I was worried that I would make God look bad. Do you think God really needs me to worry about making him look bad when I'm moving in his Spirit? See, I disappoint him when I choose not to move in the fullness of his presence in me. That is what God is more concerned about than about me making him look bad because of my own insecurities. See, I have to keep reminding myself, my job is to do what Jesus told me to do as his disciple. Go, heal the sick, cast out demons, preach the word of God, raise the dead even. That's the ultimate healing, by the way. And it's happening all over the world today. See, it's his job to do the healing. My job to be obedient, to be the vessel that he works through. And we will talk about why sometimes God chooses to heal right there and then, and why sometimes it's a process in a little bit. But also get in your head, healing is not limited to church. Okay? Several weeks ago, home after church, in my tank top and my shorts and my flip-flops, chilling out at home, I go to take out the garbage. Our neighbor, Nicole and Eric, they called us over, said, come, called me over, said, Pastor Mike, come here. Went across the street. Her little nephew, niece, who wasn't a believer, never been to our church. She had fallen and hurt her wrist, and her right wrist was like this. She had, Nicole said, let's pray for her. And you know what? We laid hands right there and just declared. And literally right before our eyes, the wrist shrunk. I could see it. It was one of those few times where I actually saw the healing take place as I was declaring in faith. God does heal. And I need to get past my insecurity to be the vessel or vehicle or the person of faith to step in and declare what he does. Because we're all insecure like that in our own areas of faith. And this is one of mine that I am still working through fully. So we're on the same journey together here. But God does heal, and I have to remember, he is the one who does it, not me. I just have to be obedient and do what I'm told, which is to go and declare him. Simple as that. And that leads me to this next foundational thing. What we believe about healing is important. Some of us grew up with certain doctrines, especially if we grew up in the church, where the anointing of the Holy Spirit ended with the apostles. So spiritual gifts are not active anymore, which includes healing. I was one of them. I grew up in a conservative Southern Baptist. And I used to freak out when I would attend a friend's AG church or go to Pentecostal meetings. And I'll be honest with you. It's only been the last 2 years the Lord's been breaking me free of his stronghold of letting go when the Holy Spirit moves instead of letting my insecurity make me feel uncomfortable. Because the God is the God of the unusual, of the unordinary. Okay? Bible says to be undignified. That doesn't mean out of control. It means when the Holy Spirit's moving, move with him. So what we believe about healing says a lot of how we're going to move in it. It's important what we think and what we believe, and because that determines what we stand on. What you believe as the person who is doing or praying for the healing and doing the healing itself, and what you believe as the person receiving the healing. Okay? Now, in Scripture, there are countless stories where the faith of the person who's being healed is what he brought forth healing. We see in Mark 5:34 and Luke 17:19, again in Luke 8:48 and again in Luke 7:50, where Jesus says to the person he healed, your faith has made you well. So it was the person who received the healing, whose faith just said, hey, Jesus, if you say it, it's going to happen. But then we also read that it was the faith of the person who does the healing. Even though the one receiving the healing may not totally believe that the healing was coming or possible, but the one who is laying hands and declaring in the name of Jesus, it was their faith that God works through. So just to cut the nonsense, not knowing if the person we're praying over believes in the healing or not, let's let our faith take command. Let's rise up and we be the ones to say, I'm going to pray for you. You may not even be saved. You may not know Jesus as your Savior, but I do. I believe in him. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. So even if you don't believe, that's okay. Just spectate. Just let me do what I have to do. And just take authority and take them and pray over them. Now, some are not going to let us. Even Christians, on the softball field 3 weeks ago, at the end of a game, I saw one of the players on the other team limping. And I asked him what happened. And this is a Christian from another church team. He said he hurt his knee and all that. I said, well, stop, let me pray for you. Oh, no, we're going to pray together as a group here, like our closing team prayer. He said, Let me pray specifically for your healing now. Oh, no, no, it'll be okay. Okay. That's fine. But when we get the opportunity, you know we're going to declare in faith. Do not be ashamed. Do not be fearful. Do not be insecure about what God can do. Because you're not doing it. You are not the healer. I am not the healer. God is Jehovah Rapha. But Jehovah Rapha is alive in me and working through me. He does the healer. And think back with Jesus. Anyone who was willing to let Jesus heal them, or at least take a crack at it, received healing. Nobody who allowed Jesus to speak these words of faith over them walked away unhealed. I dare you to find somewhere in Scripture where someone allowed Jesus to pray for them and they weren't healed. Or the apostles and they were not healed. But everyone who allowed the hand of God to come upon them were touched. And they walked away. They took up their cot and ran. And we're going to talk about some of those things and how they fit into some of the lies we believe in. But God moves through those things. The one time where Jesus was limited, we read in Matthew 13:58, where he says, "Now Jesus in his own hometown did not do many works there because of their unbelief." Not that he didn't do any, he just wasn't able to do a whole lot because the majority still looked at him as the little carpenter's boy. This is the guy that ran around with my little boy and girl and were playing hopscotch in the sand, you know. So they could not recognize the power of God. They were blinded to their sin, to the power of God that was flowing through Jesus. Those that did come up and allow the power of God to flow through Jesus, they received. Even his mom goes, "Hey, son, go turn that water to wine because we're running out of wine." She believed, and guess what? He did many miracles. Did that miracle because she believed. So wherever he was allowed to do, God's hand moved mighty mountains, mighty things. It was their unbelief. So don't let my unbelief get in the way of what God wants to do. And if they allow you to, let your faith supersede their unbelief. See, the funny thing is, if you really think about it, we talk about God being a gentleman. He's never going to force himself on you. They didn't have to believe, they just had to allow him to do it. And if they would have allowed him, he would have done much more than what he did. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? When you go into a town, this is what you're supposed to do. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. And you go in there and you do that. But if a town rejects you, shake the dust and go. In other words, if this town doesn't allow you, even if they don't believe or they do believe, if they don't allow you to do what, in my power, what you're being called to do, just walk away. But he also told them, if there's a house, if somebody receives you, you go there and stay there a while. Why? Because you're going to do some major work there. My power is going to be imparted upon that household. And there's going to be some new things taking place there. That household is going to become a beacon of my faith and my strength. So where you were allowed, where he was allowed, where the disciples were allowed, God was able to do and is able to do right now. So look for those opportunities. Pray for those opportunities. Now, I want to address this issue if it is your will, God. If it is your will. That basically stems from one of two things. As I said earlier, insecurity, not being strong enough with the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us, to stand on that statement and say, in the name of Jesus, I declare, be healed. Or simple naivety and not knowing what the Word of God says. Unfortunately, so many of us in our churches, we repeat what we hear without studying the Word of God. Many of us think because a pastor says this, it's the gospel truth. I hope you never think that of me. I hope you go home tonight and what I share with you raises more questions and answers that will lead you to seek it out for yourself in the Scripture. Because you are to test everything. And when we start studying the Scripture, when we hear the word, if it is your will, the most common time, most often quoted part of Scripture that we hear that is when we hear Jesus saying, if it's your will, take this cup from me. But let's get something straight here. Jesus already knew the will of God. And he was ready to act in the will of God. That was a statement as much for us as anything else, saying, I wish there was another way from the fleshly perspective, but I know there isn't. So I will press on in the power of the Holy Spirit in me to do the will of God. See, it's a cop-out in a lot of ways because it's weak. It's weak. It is God's will that we are all healed. See, God did not create us to not be healed. I want you to just simply think about our own bodies. Do you ever think about how you break a bone and then it heals? You cut skin and it heals? We were already built to heal. Your mind even was built and created to heal when it is renewed with the Word of God. There's nothing in our spiritual and human genetic DNA that keeps us from being able to be healed. God created us with this capacity. He created our bodies, our minds, our hearts to be healed and restored. It's already in us. So what we are actually doing is we're flowing with what we were created to flow in, performing the way we are created to perform. Bible says, lay hands and be healed, and pray for those healed to be healed. Declaring the healing of God. It's authoritative, not weak, not passive. It's authoritative. Why? Because we do it with the authority of Jesus Christ, who he imparted upon us, that authority was imparted on by God the Father, and who he gave us through his Holy Spirit. So we do it authoritatively and with power and with conviction. See, many who say, if it's your will, just don't know that it is God's will. It is God's will. I mean, think about it. You are, as a child, you cut yourself. You run into mommy or daddy. Mommy, can I have a Band-Aid? Do you really think you're going to go, Mommy, if it's your will, can I have a Band-Aid? You know mom and dad are going to get a Band-Aid. If there isn't one, they're going to put gauze. If there isn't one, they're going to take some duct tape and a napkin and they're going to do it. You know they're going to do it. It's knowing God's will. And we know it is God's will that we be healed. And we'll get into the other stuff of the hows and whys not immediate a little bit later. See, he wants to heal everyone. And we also have the mind of Christ. And this is important. Something the Lord's been teaching me that, and many of us, and we're trying to convey it to the body. So many of us are quick to speak and slow to hear. And what I mean by that, remember the first time I went to a real prayer meeting. Not praying, but to a real prayer meeting. I was used to, you get up, you say what's on your mind, what's on your heart, amen, you're done, next person. So we're sitting in a friend's bedroom, there's three or four of us, to have a prayer meeting. I was 18, never experienced a real one. 19, I pray, thinking, said my amen, I'm done. And when he says his amen, he's done. When he says he's done, and he's done. Next thing I know, he's praying. Then he's praying. Then he's praying. Then we go back to him. And I'm going, I thought we were done when all four of us are finished. What's going on here? See, looking back, what I was doing is thinking, is praying my agenda, not God's heart. I was praying what was on my mind, not in the mind of Christ. And it's great to pray, to start our prayers giving praise and glory with the things that we have on our hearts and minds. But see, one of the things we're learning is as we truly pray in the power of God, and this feeds directly into praying for healing. And again, don't mistake me saying praying for healing as praying if it's God's will. It's healing. Is if I'm going to pray for your knee, I might begin by giving God praise and glory. But you know what? I'm going to shut my mouth and I'm going to start listening. All right, Holy Spirit, what's going on with this knee? Is it ligaments? Is it blood flow? Is it a kneecap? What is it, Lord? How do you want me to declare? See, when I declare openly, we've talked about this before, I'm taking something within me and birthing it to life. And I'm declaring it bold. That's why when the Bible says, shout it from the mountaintop. Make it clear what you stand on. Put your foot out there and don't be afraid to stand tall. And that same applies to when we pray for healing. So I'm praying, Holy Spirit. And I'm praying, I might be praying in the Spirit, or I might be just asking with words, Holy Spirit, show me right now how to pray for this knee, how to declare and heal this knee right now. Show me. What do you want me to declare verbally so that it will be a testimony unto you? Remember, we overcome him in Revelation by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. These declarations are words of testimonies of faith. This is all part of it. It's not segregated. It's all part of it. So Holy Spirit, I'm laying my hand and I'm asking, Holy Spirit, what is it about this knee? I need to pray. And guess what? Holy Spirit's in me. And being that I have the mind of Christ and that I am listening to the Spirit of God, he's going to tell me what to pray. He might tell me right away. It may take a few minutes, but I don't stop. I don't stop. And I know we're going to get much more into the how to pray part next week. But it's listening. It's knowing. See, people say if it's God's will because they just don't know if what's God's will. But you know, it begins by knowing, yes, it is God's will to heal. So now, if we can get past that formality and just now get it in our heads, yes, God wants to heal this knee right now. Now I can clear my mind of that nonsense because now I know God wants to heal that knee and I can just listen to the Holy Spirit and to know what God's will is right there. And you know what? We've prayed where we've said to the person, this is going to be a process. God's going to heal this, but God's going to teach you something else in the process of this healing. So it's not going to happen today. And then there's other circumstances where I knew, as many people who have prayed for healing do, that this person's healed right now, right here. And it's done with. We have the mind of Christ. We know God wants to heal. We are commanded to heal, not just pray for them, but heal the sick. And no one ever left Jesus without being healed. Who wanted, who allowed him to, and that's the way we need to be. You know, we've been encouraging as a church so many of people to not be afraid. If the Holy Spirit puts someone on your heart during worship, to get up, pray over them for healing. This is what we're talking about. I shared a scripture today about David when he says, my deepest is one thing I desire, one thing I seek and I ask is to be, dwell in your presence, O God. In Psalm 27, you know, when I read that this week, it really hit me. Because if you continue reading on that, and you read in Psalm 26 as well, what you hear and what you see is that as he is in the presence of God, he's communicating in a relational sense with God. So as we are in communal worship, as we are praying without ceasing, as we are walking with God daily, focused on him, we are communing with him. And we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We don't turn it on when we just show up to church. I've shared this with the worship team. You can't do it. I've shared it with other people. You can't do it. You can't just come in and turn it on after spending 6+ days being off. We are on 24/7. That our dreams are dreams from the Lord. And our visions are visions from the Lord. That he is refreshing us every day. I have to do a better job of that and not allow the weariness of a day-to-day life get to me and keep me from doing that. Because I'll confess to you, I failed many days this week. I allowed the weariness of the world to get to me. And it affected my home life. It affected my relationship with my wife. But most of all, it affected my relationship with God. It took away from what God wants to do and how he wants to flow through me. But God wants to do these things. And if we are dwelling in the presence of the Lord continually, we are listening. You could be at the store and the Holy Spirit says, you need to pray for this person. Could be in your backyard. You could be in church as we're worshiping as a body. And the Holy Spirit says, get up, go take this person in the back and lay hands on them. Or take them up front, anoint them with oil and pray over them right now. Listen to the Holy Spirit, but it begins by being in the presence of God. It begins by knowing who Jesus Christ is, walking in his authority, recognizing that. And in that authority, you and I are commanded to heal the sick. It's God's will. Let's get that clear. It's God's will to do that. What I want to do this morning, you know, sometimes you go to places and there's workshops that break out after a session. We're going to allow for a type of a workshop to take place now. Diane, if you have something you want to kind of lead us in worship in. As we're worshiping and just listening, I'm going to pray over you first in a moment to make sure we're all need to be. Then we are going to get up, stand up, and we're going to just start worshiping within ourselves, listening to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to challenge you. Listen, even if you feel awkward, even if you feel uncomfortable, even if you're not sure why, you're not going to make God look like a fool. And you will never look like a fool in God's eyes when you are obedient to God. Never. God will ask us to do strange things sometimes. But it's him that wants to work. So after we stand up in a bit and we pray, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if he hears with a voice to go pray for someone or a vision of someone, whatever it might be, or just a deep-rooted inclination or a thought, I want you to move and act on it. act on it. And I don't want you to use the words, "if it's your will." I want you to use, "in Jesus' name, I declare," or "in Jesus' name, I bless you with," or "in Jesus' name, I command." I want you to use authoritative terms. And we're going to teach you a little bit more about that next week, but we're going to get a little head start in practice. Use authoritative terms to declare this. Now, Lord may not speak to you about it. If not, then as you look around and see other people being prayed over, pray for them. Pray for them. But do not be insecure. Do not worry. You're among family here. This is your family. Your family supports you. So right now, Jesus, I want to bless everyone in this room with your presence right now. Holy Spirit, I want to begin by blessing their spiritual healing, that if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as their Savior, that right now will accept you in their heart as their Savior right here today, that they simply say, "Jesus, I accept you as the one who died for my sins, who has forgiven me for all my sins, and I receive that grace and mercy that you have given me, and I choose now to walk with you for all the days of my life and learning to make you Lord of my life, and I receive your Holy Spirit in me right now." Begins with that. And Lord, now I bless them. I bless this body with ears to hear, eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see your visions, and mind to know with understanding the mind of Christ. I bless them with these things right now as they move in faith, and I bless them with the courage to step up and do the things that you are calling them to do. Not to be afraid, not to be insecure, but to just speak the words you placed on their lips in faith and authority in Jesus' name. Would you rise up right now and just, as Diane leads us, just take a few moments and worship. And ask, just keep asking the Holy Spirit, "Show me." He might even lead you.